We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Sixth Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball, by fans, for fans. Go Magic!
What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Sixth Man Show. Today is March 21st, 2024. Jonathan Osborne here, as always, joined by my co-host Luke Sylvia. Luke, the Orlando Magic have clinched the postseason. How are we doing?
I'm amazing now that we've officially, we know that we're at least going to be in the play-in. Now at this point, we've got higher aspirations, but it's just nice to know that it's cemented. So for the first time since 2020, we will get a very meaningful basketball game that has implications for the success, the further success of the season. So I'm excited for it. You obviously just get done stomping out the Hornets. And I couldn't feel better about that on that aspect. I'm ready for playoff basketball now. I'm also playing the stretch of bad teams. Was it cool to win that many games? Absolutely. But you just play so many bad teams that you're just like, I can't wait to play a game where like we have a measuring stick in this. It's awesome to know that we can beat the bad teams. That is a sign of growth. We've talked about that time and time again. But now you go into Thursday, as you guys are listening to this probably, you got the Pelicans tonight. And now you're getting your tune-ups for postseason basketball. And that's what I'm most excited for now.
Yeah. Going in and taking a look at the schedule to see how many more games. So we're going to have at least one, two, three more games at home against teams that are below 500. The Magic have not lost at home this season to a team that is below 500, at least Kia, right? Like Atlanta, the Mexico City game that we all have talked about doesn't count. But at Amway and now Kia, the Magic have not lost to a team below 500 this year. So at home against bad teams, Magic are very much taking care of business. Now they're 41-28.
And at home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. And just everywhere. At home in general.
And you've only got five more road games out of the remaining games on your schedule.
Yeah. You're 24-9 at home. You're 24-8 at Kia.
Yeah. Everything tells us the Magic are in for a strong end to the year. And we're just going to trust the stats and hope that happens.
Yeah, the Magic are tracking right now, 13 games remaining. Yes, they're going to be playing, you know, better quality opponents, but it looks like you're tracking for like at least 46, 47, 48 wins somewhere in there. Yeah. 50 wins, probably not likely, but not totally out of the question either. So you get to, you know, 43 wins, and now that becomes the most games the Magic have won in a single season in 13 years, Luke. Yeah. So what this team is doing is not, you know, insignificant by any means. And we're going to talk about the Hornets game in a bit. But one thing that we haven't really done on the show this season up to this point, now we're in the point where we're scoreboard watching. Like we're not recording this game until almost 9:45 Wednesday night. And part of that was because we were watching to see what was going to happen in the final minutes in this Miami-Cleveland game, because either one of those results, like Cleveland wins or Miami wins, Miami ended up winning, but either one of those results, you know, would have helped us. Either you gain on the Cavaliers like we did, or you put a little bit more space in between you and the Miami Heat, which also would have been nice. That's kind of where I am.
Yeah.
I'm happy where we're at, right? We're going to go through the state of the Magic and really talk about the standings in a second. But where I am right now, Luke, is I'm not getting greedy. Like the teams ahead of us, if they lose, that's great. Mm-hmm. If we can close the gap there. But in a game like Cleveland and Miami, a team ahead of us and a team like right behind us, I wanted Cleveland to pull it out to put a little bit more space between us and Miami. That's where I'm at. I want the teams that are right below us to lose.
Well, exactly. That's where I'm at as well. Producer Kevin has a little bit different of a take. He said it on the postgame live show, so I'm not outing his mindset by any means. He's feeling greedy, and he wants to gain, and I get it. Like, I being very competitive myself and you the same way, I understand the perspective. Like, at this point, we've come this far. We didn't come this far to come this far type of thinking. Let's get up in the standings. But as far as just like laying it out there, the Magic right now are just 2.5 games in front of the play-in. That is not a lot, especially when you've got the games that the Magic have coming up, right? All it takes is you to have a tough stretch of games and a team that's in the play-in spot right now, like the Pacers, having an easy stretch, like an easy week, and you have a hard week, and all of a sudden you're in the play-in. So for me, I just want those play-in teams to stay there. Y'all can stay play-in teams. Would it be awesome to be able to handpick and like, this is who I want in the playoffs? Sure. But at this point, I just want to make sure that we're in the playoffs. Not the play-in. I want to be in the playoffs. I want a 7-game series guaranteed. And that's not going to be helping with the Cavs dropping games to the Heat when you would hope that the Cavs would be able to do that. They don't have Donovan Mitchell, obviously. That's a big caveat. But I was definitely rooting for Cleveland so that Miami would just step back a bit further. But unfortunately, not the case. You and I are of the same mind. But it is fun to see some discourse in our group chat with Kevin of, you're crazy for thinking that. And then Kevin's like, you're crazy. You know, I just want to get higher in the standings. I understand both viewpoints, but I don't want to play risky when in your end type play basketball. We'll save that for March Madness.
Yeah, and to your point, I wouldn't mind a shorter series than 7 games if the Magic are on the correct end of it. You know, the Magic beat the Knicks or the Heat in 5-6 games. I won't be mad at that at all. Yeah. Okay, a couple of items to touch on before we get to the state of the Magic. So coming up, our group night, which we're now like 9 days away, as you all are listening to this, that's going to be March 30th when the Magic take on the Memphis Grizzlies. If you were part of the first round of tickets that went on sale a couple of weeks ago and part of that first 60, then you're going to be able to join us on the floor earlier that day to play pickup basketball. We're still waiting to see when details are going to go out around that. Once we hear on that, you know, emails are probably going to be going out pretty shortly. So just keep an eye on your email, but we'll be sure to, you know, share to social media when those emails are going out as well. But just rule of thumb, just keep your eye on your email so that you can get all of the details on, you know, what you can bring, when to be there, all that sort of stuff. So, but if you weren't part of that first 60, if you still want to come to that game with us, you can. So Magic have given us some more tickets there, which you can purchase at fivo-enterprise.com/event/6th man 6, which is SIXTHMAN and then the number 6. So again, that's fivo-enterprise.com/event/6th man 6. Discounted tickets, about $100 a piece right now, which for lower bowl tickets is a heck of a deal. And you get to hang out with us and you get to hang out and cheer with a ton of other Magic fans. And before the game, roughly from about 4:30 to 6 o'clock, we're all going to head over to Jam Hot Chicken. And you can just hang out if you want. You can get something to eat for yourself if you would like. But we're going to head over there and sort of hang out before the game. And then at 6 o'clock, head over to Kia and get to our seats and get ready to continue to cheer on our Orlando Magic. The next episode of the Sixth Fan Show is actually tonight, as you're listening to this, March 21st, Thursday. Magic take on the Pelicans tonight at the Kia Center starting at 7 o'clock. After the game, our buddy Ben will be outside of Kia with the lights and the camera. You guys are bringing the action for the Six Fan Show. So on your way out of Kia, be sure to stop by. He'll be right out front near the blue chain link fences that are over there as the Magic are sometime this year breaking ground on that entertainment complex. So, but Ben will be out there, so be sure that you guys stop by and say what's up and show some love and give your takes and just share how excited you guys are about this team and about the playoff run that's coming up. One last announcement here, arguably the biggest piece of the announcements for today. We have a new team member. We are adding a lot of you that are on Magic Twitter might already be familiar with him and with his work. But our guy, Brandon Jones, who runs the Orlando Analytics account, his handle is at ORL underscore analytics. And it's exactly what it sounds like. He does like deep dives into advanced metrics and data surrounding the Orlando Magic to just provide evidence for different talking points around the Magic. And he creates visuals a lot of times that go along with those. He just does a fantastic job. If you don't follow him already, go ahead and do so. If you don't have a Twitter account, it's probably worth it to create one to follow us on there, but also to follow Brandon. He just does such a great job, and we're really excited. He's going to help us just sort of enhance the content that we're already bringing. And my favorite part, help us push Magic agendas. Like, hey, Brandon, we feel like Jalen Suggs is one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. What do you have that helps support that? And he'll whip up some stuff, and we'll be able to say, hey, we think Jalen Suggs is really good, and here are some numbers that some good old confirmation bias, as they say, Luke. But yeah, just really excited to have Brandon part of the team.
And just to give you guys examples too, like he does a lot of Twitter threads where he just gives like extensive information and details, and he's really good about presenting fact and not so much just like the opinion, right? So he just lays it out there for you and lets you kind of form your opinion based off that. His top one is pinned tweet right now, just to give you guys an example, is like based off the quote of people always talking about how Orlando is better when Paolo isn't playing. He goes on to list a myriad of things, but ultimately coming down to like opponents playing much stronger lineups when Paolo is on to account for Paolo really and match his skill versus when he's off, which is why like a lot of the bench unit and why these things do deserve context. The bench unit has killer numbers and difference, point differential and things like that when you look at the stats, but you take a closer look and you realize it's because bench is just dominating other bench units and Paolo's having to play those stronger lineups. So Brandon provides a lot of really good context and backs up everything there with all the stats. So he's a great follow, like Jonathan said. Happy to have him be part of the team.
The summary of that is the Magic are not better without Paolo. For anybody that was worried about that, that is certainly not the case.
Right.
Okay, let's jump both feet into the state of the Magic here. This week, the Magic are 1-0 so far, just one game on Tuesday. Absolutely dismantled the Charlotte Hornets, which we'll talk about later. The Magic now sit fifth in the Eastern Conference with a record of 41-28, 13.5 games back of Boston, 3.5 games back of Milwaukee. That's probably going to change in the next few minutes here. Actually, Milwaukee is playing Boston tonight, and they're only down 6 with 3:06 to go. So by the time you all wake up tomorrow, those numbers will probably be a little bit different. Boston will either be 14 games up, or Milwaukee will be 4 games up or 3 games up, depending on how that result goes. 2 games back of Cleveland after their loss to Miami tonight. We're a half game back of New York. 2.5 games up on Philadelphia, 3 games up on Indiana, 3.5 games up on Miami, 7 games up on Chicago, 10.5 games up on Atlanta. On the season, the Magic are 23rd in the NBA in offensive rating with a rating of 112.9. They're 4th in the NBA in defensive rating with a rating of 110.9. They are 12th in net rating with a net rating of 2. Since the All-Star break, the Magic are 11-3. They're 15th in offensive rating, first in defensive rating, and 5th in net rating. Luke, we don't know everything, right? But whenever there's like a talking point that we put an emphasis on and we see that kind of play out, it always feels good as when you're wrong doing what we do, people are so quick to let you know. They almost never come back and be like, hey, remember that thing you said like 3 weeks ago? You guys were right. So when we have the opportunity to, you know, you might be able to hear that, pat ourselves on the back just a little bit. We will do that. Luke, we talked coming out of the All-Star break how the Magic could potentially be one of the best teams in the NBA, you know, in terms of defense over the course of the last, like, you know, 27 games, I think it was, coming out of the All-Star break. And the Magic, since the All-Star break, have been the number one team in the NBA in defensive rating. Now, yes, there's a lot of context that goes along with that. The fact that they've been playing a lot of the worst teams in the league. I have a coworker of mine who seemingly every night texts me and says, how are you guys playing another G League team tonight? And look, you just play the team that is in front of you. You play the teams that are on your schedule. But to the Magic's credit, they have been taking advantage of that. And they have been playing stellar defense, and it's been leading to wins. So good for the Magic. Looking at the injury report, it's clean. Nobody's on the injury report heading into tomorrow's game against the New Orleans Pelicans. We want to keep it that way. And Luke, now I want to talk a little bit about opponent schedules and their strengths of schedule, because again, now we're at the point of the year where we are every night, we're going to be scoreboard watching and standings watching and see how things are shifting, because it seems like almost on a minute by minute basis, the standings in the Eastern Conference are changing right now. So I want to go through and first talk about opponents, you know, strength of schedules, and then we can take a look at the teams that they're actually playing. Like Friday night, for example, if you're a Magic fan, your eyes should be just glued to League Pass or to ESPN and the Gamecast. Keep up with what is going on, because there's a lot going on Friday night that's relevant to the Magic and their standings in the Eastern Conference. So first of all, let's go through not all the opponents, but the teams that are really relevant to the Magic. I'm talking about Miami, Indiana, Cleveland, Philadelphia, New York, and Milwaukee. We're not catching the Celtics. Sorry to break it to anybody.
Who clinched the playoffs tonight, by the way.
Good for recently. Them.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. First team to I think do it. It might be mathematically impossible for us, or maybe like one more game, it'll be mathematically impossible for us to catch the Boston Celtics. And then you're probably safe, you know, when we're talking about Chicago and we're talking about Atlanta. So again, Milwaukee, Cleveland, New York, Philadelphia, Indiana, Miami. Miami's remaining strength of schedule is 22nd. So they have one of the easier remaining strength of schedules around the league. Indiana is there at 20th. Cleveland is there at 18th. Philadelphia is 16th. New York is 15th. The Magic are 12th. So the Heat, Pacers, Cavaliers, 76ers, and Knicks all have, on paper, easier schedules than the Magic the rest of the way here. And that I may have changed tonight after some of these games have ended.
Miami now has the third easiest.
Oh, that's fantastic. So they went from 22nd to what, 27th, 28th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They played the Cavs, so.
Whatever. So Cleveland, on the other hand, there's probably changed a little bit 21st. As well, if I'm guessing. So yeah, so they went from 18th to 21st. Philadelphia sitting there at 16th, New York 15th, Orlando 12th, and then Milwaukee 4th. So Milwaukee is pretty much the long shot, like in terms of us being able to catch someone. But the fact that you play them twice in the final three games and they have one of the most difficult schedules in the league the rest of the way here, maybe they fall to third, and maybe those last couple of games are really important to both teams. Maybe you can catch them. I don't really know, Luke, but yeah, we're at the point of the season where we've sort of played our easy stretch. We played the most brutal stretch of the season, and now with the conclusion of the game Tuesday night against Charlotte, we're basically through the easiest part of our schedule as well. And now the Magic just have to take care of business. Like, yes, we're looking around the league. We're watching scoreboards. It doesn't seem like we get much help. Like every time we look at a result, whatever way we want it to go or need it to go, it ends up going the other way. So what do you do with that? You just win. You win the games the rest of the way. Let's go ahead and take a look at the Magic schedule over these last 14 games, and then we'll talk about, or last 13 games now, and then we'll talk about some of these other teams' schedules. So, Luke, we know tonight, Thursday, Magic have the Pelicans, right? You're still in the middle of this big homestand, but the schedule doesn't get any easier from here on out. Then you've got Sacramento. You've got Golden State. Then you've got the Clippers. All of those teams are squarely in the postseason hunt right now. You get a little bit of a break. You have the Memphis Grizzlies on the 30th, but you play the Clippers the night before. So that game against the Grizzlies is going to be the second night of a back-to-back. Then you have a day off. You've got Portland at home. And then you take the road for a quick two-game road trip at New Orleans, at Charlotte. You come back home for one game. You have the Bulls Sunday, April 7th. And then you have the last road trip of the year at Houston, at Milwaukee, at Philadelphia. And then you return home for the what will probably be Fan Appreciation Night, the last home game of the season, the last game of the regular season for the Magic. April 14th at 1 o'clock, you take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, if we look at the schedule, Memphis, Portland, Charlotte, Chicago, maybe Houston. Houston's going to be tough. They've been playing relatively well this season. It is a road game. They're going to want to get you back for opening night when the Magic completely destroyed them. But at least probably like four of those games, you should be able to circle as wins, which would put you at 45 wins at that point, which, again, going back to October, all of us would have taken that. But over the course of the last 13 games here, Luka, if you can find a way to go 7-6 or 8-5, I think that is wildly successful, and I would take that.
Yeah, I mean, what, seven, eight wins, that's, you're putting us at like 48, 49. Wins ultimately is what that would be. It is rough looking at it and saying the toughest schedule, like there's more tough opponents and more games against the tough opponents than the weaker when you've been having the stretch we've been having. But those are the games I'm living for coming down the stretch here, are those games against the more notable teams, the teams that are going to challenge you. Are you going to clean up your turnovers? We've talked about it. We don't think that magically gets solved, especially near the end of the season here. But just some type of semblance of taking care of the basketball better than you have would be great. And who better to do it against and sharpen up a little bit than against these playoff teams? It might get you to the point where like you're more battle tested going into the playoffs and you're not maybe going into it coming off of just a bunch of super easy games. We'll see how it pans out. But yeah, you're coming to a point now where every game is going to count that much. So we'll take the easy games, but those big games are going to be huge.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So let's talk now about some of these opponents, remaining schedules. So Friday, like I mentioned, is going to be super interesting. So that night, the Heat play, the Sixers play, the Pacers play, and the Cavs play. The Knicks and Bucks do not. The Heat play the Pelicans at home, which is going to be the Pelicans' second night of a back-to-back, because they have us Thursday and then the Heat on Friday in Miami. The Sixers will be in LA playing the Lakers. The Pacers will be in Golden State playing the Warriors, and the Cavs will be in Minnesota taking on the Timberwolves. Now, the Cavs, for the next week at least, are going to be without Donovan Mitchell. He had like a nasal fracture and is going to be reevaluated in a week. They just lost to Miami tonight. Timberwolves are better than the Heat. I would say significantly better than the Heat. And you know, they've been, you know, putting it together recently, even without Karl Anthony Towns. So when you look at that Friday night slate, like almost all of the teams that we need to lose that are playing could lose. Pelicans are going to be a tough out for the Heat, even though it's second night of a back-to-back. You feel like the Sixers should lose to the Lakers in LA. Pacers should lose to the Warriors in Golden State. And the Cavs should lose to the Timberwolves in Minnesota. So that would be a big help. But let's look at the Heat schedule. So not just Friday night. So their remaining opponents are the Pelicans, the Cavs, the Warriors, the Blazers, the Wizards. You know, they'll probably get a couple of wins there. The Knicks, the 76ers, at the Rockets, at the Pacers, at the Hawks, and then the Mavericks, and they have two games against the Raptors at home to end the year. So sure, the Heat have a easier schedule than the Magic, but especially the way that the Heat have been playing as of late, we go to the standings and I take a look. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games, right? So they're playing 500 basketball lately. The Heat could drop a number of those games. Like even though they have an easier schedule, if they had, let's see, how many is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So they have 13 as well. They are not necessarily going to have a better record than the Magic over the course of the last 13 games here. And they're going to need to have a better record by three games so that you know, they can tie and have the same record. And now they have the tiebreaker, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's like, do you trust the Magic more against those 50-50 teams than Miami when they're playing those 50-50 matchups? And by that, I mean, you're playing against playoff teams where it's like, oh, we're capable. Is it likely? I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up, right? Like these games against the Pelicans on Thursday. Are you more confident that the Magic can win those type of games versus Miami playing those type of games? And the answer right now is that I believe that the Magic can handle business more than I believe Miami. I am burning the memories of the Knicks game and the Pacers game, the last two meaningful games we played. And I am moving forward that this team is going to be motivated and that they are going to be tuned up from playing all these bad teams, that they're going to be able to handle business, and that we're going to get the team that we've been seeing the past few, you know, since All-Star break defensively. That's what I'm going to choose to believe. I believe that team is better than the Miami team that's on the floor right now. So in these games against those 50-50 games, like I said, I'm trusting that the Magic will take care of business over Miami.
When we sat down, when we were coming out of the All-Star break and we were talking about, you know, what the Magic could do in the standings, what the Magic could do in the Eastern Conference playoff picture, and we talked about like the Magic could be better than the Heat, and I was pretty confident about that. It didn't have so much to do with like the head-to-head matchups because, you know, we lost the season series this year. This is what I was talking about, is like the Magic are going to win games here. And, you know, they had been better than the Heat on, you know, the season up to that point. And this is the Miami Heat that, you know, they are who we thought they were. Like, I have never thought the Heat were all that, even though they made, you know, their run to the finals last year, just didn't buy it. I'm glad that they pretty much brought back the same core and they continue to invest in that core and convince themselves that it's going to win them a title, because it's not going to. But yeah, for me, it's like tune-up games. You know, you're familiar with tune-up games, you know, with college football. Like, you put a couple of cupcakes on your schedule at the beginning of the year, you'll beat the crap out of them, get your confidence up so that, like, when, you know, conference play and all that kind of stuff starts, you know, you're in a good rhythm. there could be a bit of that with the Magic. Like over the course of the last several weeks, they've just been beating up on all these bad teams and they're really, really confident. But then we saw them play the Knicks and the Pacers and they got the crap kicked out of them. So is it like lulling them into like a false sense of confidence? I'm going to just sort of err on the side of that Knicks game and Pacers game were like the best thing to happen to the Magic. To realize like, hey, even though we're winning these games, like we're not all that, like we're not totally there yet. And hopefully they've taken, you know, this, you know, last week or so, you know, since week and a half since those games, and we're going to see a different, you know, determined and focused Magic team Thursday night. Thursday is going to mean a lot to me. I know it's just one game. You never want to get too high or too low after one game, but if the Magic just come out and get annihilated, it's going to be pretty deflating for me personally. No one else is obligated to feel this way. I'm just talking about what it'll do to my psyche. If the Magic come out and lay an egg and just, you know, get blown out, I'm going to be pretty deflated, and I'll probably come away from that game with, you know, the beginnings of the feeling that we had after that Knicks game and Pacers game is like, hey, maybe this team just isn't ready for like the big matchups, and that would just sort of be further evidence to me. If they come out and they compete and they play really well, even if they lose, I'll be much more confident, like moving forward. Like, okay, those were outliers. Let's just completely forget about those, like you said, Luke. And if they have a really good showing against the Pelicans and the Kings and the Warriors and the Clippers coming up, and if you're able to like split those and even the losses are fairly competitive, I'm going to be feeling really confident going into the last nine games of the year.
They have got to also prove it that they are ready for these big games, because as of now, where I stand is I don't know that they're ready for meaningful big games, citing those two recent games, but also citing the fact that you're 15-22 against over 500 teams this year. There's plenty of stuff that suggests that this team is just shockingly, they're young, right? They're inexperienced. As time goes on, they will improve against the teams that are the true playoff teams and Eastern Conference contenders, but they're inconsistent because they're young and they're still getting their footing. It is okay for this team to not be ready for big games. I didn't even expect to have this conversation this year. Are the Magic ready for the next step? I just wanted them to make the playoffs. I wanted them to make the play-in. So I would think it's unfair for me to be like, oh, they need to be ready for the big games. They have to be. Because they don't have to be. They've taken the step that we asked them to take. And the next year can be where we start saying, okay, we need growth in big games. Would it be great to string together a lot of big wins over this final stretch? 100%. Am I expecting it? I don't know that I'm expecting it. I'm open to being surprised, maybe. But at the end of the day, this is a young team that is 15-22 against above 500 teams, and they're going to have some stinkers. We've seen them, but there's going to be more, whether it's now in the playoffs or both. We're going to see it. But ultimately, they just need repetition. They need reps against these really good teams, and they need to know what that playoff environment feels like. That's all I'm along for the ride for. If you steal a game or two in the playoffs, I'll be ecstatic, honestly, truly. But down the stretch here, I would love nothing more than to be proven wrong about these big games and see you take care of business over your next few games that are tough.
This is going to be the part where like the greedy side of my brain comes out. You and I have rewind, go back to October. Like we were just like, just make the play-in. Make the play-in, the season will be a success. We're there. We could lose every game the rest of the way. We would still at least be in the 9-10 game. All right. Now that we're in the play, now that we're there, I want more. I want more than that now, because the way that they've played and you know what their record suggests right now and the position that they put themselves in, they would have to lose basically every game the rest of the way to end up in that 9-10 game. And right now you are three games ahead of the play-in with 13 games to go. Like Miami would have to put some crazy, like, you know, 10-3, 9-4, and the Magic would have to go 6-7, you know, over the course of the last 13 games for something like that to happen at this point. So for me, where I'm at is, like, we're almost to the house money. Like, October, I would have said we're in the house money. Go 7-6. Like, that's, I think that's realistic. That would, I believe, mathematically guarantee that you're at least the sixth seed. Or I'm sorry, no. Okay, no, you would have to go 8-5 because, trying to do the math here, you have to be at least six. You're 2.5 games ahead of Philadelphia. My math's off. Somewhere, I'm confident about this. You got to be somewhere between 7-6, 8-5 to guarantee that you're not going to be in the play. And Luke's going to try to do the math right now because I'm really not my strong suit. But get me to the sixth seed, right? Like, once we clinch that, like, if there's 4 or 5 games left and it's like, okay, the lowest the Magic can finish is sixth, at that point, I'll be completely fine. If there's 3 games left of the regular season and you lose all 3 of those and you get swept in the playoffs, I'll be okay. Now, to your point, Luke, like, it's okay if this team isn't ready for big games. You're absolutely 100% correct. And sort of framing in that way, like, oh, this team isn't ready for big games, that has such a negative connotation that goes along with it. But it's like, if you just look at it for what it is, they're one of the youngest teams in the league. They had almost zero national expectations coming into this season. They've outperformed everybody's expectations, even like the loftiest Magic fans' expectations. The Magic are going to exceed those at least by a little bit. So you get to the playoffs, like, you guarantee that you're going to get a playoff series. The experience for this team that they're going to go through over the next, you know, 13 plus games, you know, whatever the playoff series is, however long that is, these games are so invaluable at this point for these guys. I'm not going to complain as long as I'll complain if, like, when we get to the play-in, if we're in the play-in, like, I can't believe we're in the play-in. I can't believe, you know, it's a win or go home, blah, 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 blah. But, like, if you're in the play-in and you win that 7-8 game at home, I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. At least we're in the playoffs, and then I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But if you were to, like, end up in the play-in and lose, I would be super disappointed. But, like, the stakes of these next 13 games and what they're going to mean to, like, the majority of the teams that you're going to play down the stretch here, I just think that is so valuable for this team. And I was talking to Carmen about this today. This season has been so much fun. Like, coming off of that big win against Charlotte last night, and you had a tweet about, like, hey, live in the moment, appreciate this moment while we're in it, right? But next season, there are going to be actual legitimate expectations. Next year is not going to be all vibes and happy and, oh my gosh, we're so happy to be here. Next year is going to be actual expectations. And I'm guessing for you and myself and Kevin and, like, the other diehards, a lot of stress is going to come along with next season. So I just want to enjoy the last 13 games, the playoffs, all that kind of stuff. Just stay out of the play-in, and I'm going to be really, really happy with this team.
To circle back to what you were saying earlier about what
has
to happen.
Please don't tell me it's more than 8-5.
So here's the simple part of this is that the Pacers have 12 games left, and they're in the 7th spot right now. Technically speaking, if they were to win out by the grace of God, they would have 51 wins at that point. The Magic have 41 right now, so the Magic would have to go like 10-3 to tie the record of the Pacers. So really what is maybe more beneficial is to look at, like, the Hawks, who are 10th right now. They have 14 games remaining. If they win all 14, they have 44 wins on the season. The Magic are just 3 wins away from 44. So the 10 spot, we can pretty much, like you said earlier, you feel like the Hawks and the Bulls are far enough behind. I think that's a fair assumption. Realistically, it feels like, worst case, you could be looking at the 8th spot going in, and obviously then that would indicate you're doing the play-in stuff. But yeah, so that's what you're looking at, because, you know, you've got to look at if these teams went out all the way and what you have to do and if it's even possible. But yeah, right now, the Pacers, yeah, they technically still have a chance to overtake you, obviously, even if you go seven wins, right? That's 48. They technically could win out. Not likely, but yeah, you feel pretty good at this point that you're going to be the sixth seed or better. And I think everything backs that up.
Okay, I know we started this conversation to go through like some opponent schedule, so I'm going to do that pretty quickly. I think we've done a good job of laying out, you know, the Magic circumstances here. Looking at the Sixers, they're at the Lakers, at the Clippers, at the Kings, home for the Clippers, at the Cavs, and then it starts to lighten up a little bit at the Raptors, then home for the Thunder, at the Heat, at the Grizzlies, at the Spurs, home for the Pistons, home for the Magic, and then home for the Nets. The Sixers pretty quickly here over the course of their next five or six games might find themselves like in the play-in. Like that's a real possibility for them. The Pacers, who again are right now 2.5 games back of the Magic, they're at the Warriors starting Friday, at the Lakers, at the Clippers, home for the Bulls, home for the Lakers, home for the Nets, at the Nets, home for the Thunder, home for the Heat, at the Raptors, at the Cavs, home for the Hawks. Pacers, again, another team that, I guess right now they're in the play-in, but they could find themselves, you know, probably in the eighth spot. I don't think the Bulls will make up enough ground for the Pacers to fall to 9, but these teams have quote-unquote easier schedules than us, but nothing about these schedules seems easy. Like, sure, there are some games in there that you would probably favor them to win in, but by no means are some of these guarantees, except maybe if we're talking about the Grizzlies, the Spurs, and the Pistons for the 76ers. The Knicks are home for the Nets, home for the Pistons, at the Raptors, at the Spurs, home for the Thunder, at the Heat, home for the Kings, at the Bulls, that's a back-to-back there, at the Bucks, at the Bulls, at the Celtics, home for the Nets, home for the Bulls. The Bucks, Luke, are home for the Thunder, home for the Lakers, at the Pelicans, at the Hawks, at the Wizards, home for the Grizzlies. That's an away home back-to-back. Home for the Raptors, home for the Knicks, home for the Celtics, home for the Magic. That's a back-to-back for the Bucks. So two of those last three games for the Magic are going to come against the Bucks. The first matchup of that is going to come off of a back-to-back against the Celtics, which, you know, bodes well for us. Then they're at the Thunder and then at the Magic to end the year. And last but not least, the Cavs. They're at the Timberwolves, at the Heat, home for the Hornets, at the Hornets, home for the Sixers, at the Nuggets, at the Jazz, at the Suns, at the Lakers, at the Clippers. What a stretch. Home for the Grizzlies, home for the Pacers, home for the Hornets. Going through and reading all of those, like, I don't feel like anybody really has an advantage. Sure, like the strength of schedule, you know, statistically might be a little bit easier, but each team's got some tough games in there.
Yeah. At the end of the day, when you've got this small amount of games left, you're all going to have some easy games and you're all going to have some really tough games. And at that point, you're really splitting hairs. So win your games. The Magic control their destiny. Just win. Give yourselves a good chance to win. Put yourself in the right spots. And you're going to find yourself soon talking about how we're going to be the sixth seed or better. And it's a lock. We're close.
If you had to bet, if somebody was like, "You here's $100 and you have to put this $100 on where you think the Magic are most likely to end up in the Eastern Conference standings," where would you say today?
It is tough not to say 5. That means I'm not
saying bring on the Knicks, baby.
And listen, Cleveland being, this is what I'm talking about too, as far as how tight this race is, really, when you just think about having a bad stretch of games versus a team in your area having a good stretch of games and things going well for them. The Cavs are without Donovan Mitchell for at least a week. They said
at least a week.
A reevaluation in a week. That does not mean he's coming back in a week. And as a result,
It could,
but who knows, right? Ultimately, they're going to be focused on getting him healthy for the playoffs. That's goal number one. They're not going to rush him back. If there was ever a time for a team not to rush a player back, it is right before the playoffs start. You don't want him to re-aggravate anything. So if they're at a spot where they're like, you know what, we're completely safe of any play-in shenanigans, and Donovan Mitchell could benefit from some games off, I would not be shocked if he is off
And hey,
most of the season.
If you're Cleveland and you're sitting there and you're looking at, do we want the 3-6 matchup if Joel Embiid comes back, if it's Philadelphia, right, or do we want the 4-5 matchup with the Orlando Magic?
Yeah.
I would understand the thinking there, because if Joel Embiid is healthy, 76ers are probably a top 2 or 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. That being said, I like us matching up against Cleveland better than I like us matching up against the Knicks.
Both
with Mitchell Robinson probably returning pretty shortly for the Knicks.
Yeah, as soon as like their next couple games, he'll be back, it looks like. So, yeah, I would rather play the Cavs. Still not super favorable for me, just because they do protect the paint well. But if back to your question, the 5 seed is where I would put all 100. If I even had the chance to distribute it in terms of confidence on where we've been, I feel pretty confident that we will be the 5th seed.
That's where I'm at as well. Yep. That's where I'm at.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Now, let's take a quick break to give a very special shout out to our patrons. You know we love you guys. You guys are literally the folks that help support the show and allow us to do everything that we do. So your support does not go unnoticed or unappreciated. If you're not one of our patrons and you'd like to see what it's all about, you want to get some more information, you can find us at patreon.com/the6man show, where we have different levels of tiers. Like, we have a $2 tier where, hey, if you just want to help support the show, give us a few dollars a month, you can do that. We have additional tiers with additional benefits that you can check out. Again, patreon.com/the6man show. Whenever we have brand new patrons, we make sure to give them a very special shout out and thank you for joining the community and thanking them for their support. And then we shout out our Hall of Fame and Elite tier patrons each and every episode. So I am going to go ahead and start by saying a big thank you to our friends over at the Court Cousins Podcast. If you haven't checked them out already, you can check them out on all podcast platforms and on YouTube. Drew Gooden, who, again, you can also check out on YouTube. That guy's pretty big over there, as a matter of fact. Our guy Armin, Carson Tulo, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, Normal, Magic Player History, Gabe Gaines, Wiffle, Michael Martin, Jamel Miller, Michael Salapong, Donkey Punch Dave, Paolo and Frontz's Warmth, who went with the annual tier this time around. Really, really appreciate you, Paolo and Frontz's Warmth. Personally wish you would change your name. I know that's going to be counterproductive. Now you're going to want to change it even less. But yeah, there's that. Pierre A, Dylan Holden, Mr. Mikey, Eduardo Sanchez, Danimal, Dutto15, Bobby Skinner, Goaty93, Teddy Sylvia, shout out to Luke's mama, Eric Lopez, Fuchsia, Bill Fulton, Emin Lagone, Jose Esquilin, Caleb Pete, Cannibalism, Ty, Mr. TV, ESPN Really Sucks, Gear95, Shred, Junior Bruce, Hafreekin, Shahin177, Bobby the Don, Himlo, Ben Himro, RM Prop 221, Ray Pastrana, Magic Kid 714, Mysterious Mosley, Victor Cologne, Irish Magic Mike, Austin Lampy, Random Hustle, Only Franz, Maria, Keith Walls, Fritz, Currency Kev, Brub Sal, Case and Green, Santi Leon, Kane Eckler, The Distract, Ahmad Timsa, Chansu, Tom Gadsden, Dead Air, Richard Tuttle, Jeremiah Quintero, Magic Wired, Debo 1980, Magic Matt, Michael Thompson, Mama Richmond, Next Napa, and JR Ponce. A big thank you to all of our patrons. Again, you can find us at patreon.com/the6man show. Luke, talk to me about some Nashville and LA inspired hot chicken.
There you go. Jonathan's already started off the first part there of the read for you guys. Jam Hot Chicken is one of our proud partners. We do our Jam Hot Chicken Jam of the Week. As you guys, if you guys have listened to any of our Monday episodes, very well know by now that we have that segment every Monday for those Jam Hot Chicken Jam of the Weeks. Had some fun ones lately. But Jam Hot Chicken is located at 400 West New England Avenue, Suite 13 in Hannibal Square, there in beautiful Winter Park. You guys can go follow them on all social media platforms at Jam Hot Chicken. You can go to their website, jamhotchickenfl.com, look at their menu, order ahead, all sorts of good stuff on that website. Man, go check them out. Let them know we sent you. And Jam Hot Chicken, the best chicken sandwich around.
I want to give a quick shout out because they are getting ready to do an event with Lazy Moon Pizza coming up on March 29th. So that will be located at Lazy Moon off of Mills, 1011 East Colonial Drive in Orlando. That's going to be March 29th from 5 p.m. until they're sold out. Lazy Moon is open late. And they're going to have, it's called the If You Know, You Know Slice, which is, it's $14, but I would pay $28 for this. It's the Jam Hot Chicken's The Box, which is what I almost always get when I go to Jam Hot Chicken, on a Lazy Moon pizza slice. Are you freaking kidding me, guys? Hot dip infused, whipped ricotta, fries, mild heat chicken, Vinny slaw, pickles, and comeback sauce on a piece of freaking pizza. You might hear me having to swallow a couple of times. That's my saliva. I'm literally almost drooling reading that right now, and I am so jealous that we will not be able to make that, folks. But yeah, make sure that if you're in the area, like, that is appointment culinary experience right there.
Andrew, the owner of Jam Hot Chicken, posted it when I think that they were like doing their trial runs of that pizza. I messaged him so fast and was like, too, please tell me this is a new menu item. And he's like, man, it's a one-time thing, you know, for this one event. Doesn't mean they won't partner again, but he said, this is for right now. It's a one night event. We're doing it till we're sold out. And I was like, I am devastated, because the next day we will be in Orlando already for the Memphis game and that, you know, whole on-court experience thing. If it wasn't the day before and would require me going to Orlando twice in a row, I would heavily consider it. You guys need to go. What time? You said it started at like 4 or 5. At 5. If you are in the area, I would be there at
3:30.
I would be there early, because it says till as long as supplies last, and it's going to go so fast. It doesn't matter how late Lazy Moon is open. People are going to be lining up at the doors because they know how good Jam Hot Chicken is. And if you could put any of their products on a slice of pizza, I don't even need to know anything about Lazy Moon Pizza to know that it's going to be incredible. So go check it out and let them know we sent you if you guys end up going to that event, because good call by Jonathan promoting that, because I saw it earlier and totally forgot, but I would be there in a heartbeat.
In the future, I may have to call Andrew and be like, bro, what if I stop at Lazy Moon Pizza on my way to you? Can you do a little something? Because that's like one of those things that you just have to experience. You know, it's like Shaq's Jersey retirement night. I would probably more likely want to be at this.
Oh, yeah.
Then because like, never mind. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I'm just going to say it. There's nothing at the Jersey retirement that I could put in my mouth. Okay. I'll just say that. Okay.
Yeah.
This is different than that. Okay.
Wow. So, what an ad read for Jam Hot Chicken, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about this Hornets game. At the same exact time, there's a lot to talk about, and then there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
Because the Magic just came out and obliterated the Charlotte Hornets on Tuesday night. I'm going to go to the play-by-play here, Luke. So at the end of the first quarter, Magic up 27-17. It's like, okay, sort of business as usual, nothing crazy, but like pretty expeditiously, Luke. The Magic are up by 24 with 7 minutes to go in that second quarter. And then a few minutes later here, they're up 61-26. And this is the play of the game. If you've been on social media, you've already seen it 100 times before. This is where the game ended for me. At this point, it's like, get these guys out of here. They don't have a chance tonight. This game is over. Going to the 3 minute 1 second mark left in the second quarter, the Magic are up 20. I'm sorry, they're up 26-61, or 61-26, whatever way you want to format that. You'd be my guest. Miles Bridges drives to his right hand. Jalen Suggs is just all over him like a pit bull. Steals the ball. Going the other way, they've got Alexei Pokuševski and Brandon Miller. And then it's a Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, Jalen Suggs 3-on-2. Jalen's running down the left side of the lane. passes it back to Paolo Banchero. Poku and Brandon Miller both step up to stop Paolo Banchero at the free throw line. You see Jalen Suggs retreating to the corner. Paolo Banchero throws it behind his back. Jalen Suggs catches it in stride, hits the step back, pulls up for three. As soon as he lets it go, turns around to the crowd, turns his back as it's going through the net. Now the Magic are up 64-26. They're up 28 with 2:53 to go in the first half. Jalen Suggs is walking down the sideline. He's dapping up Magic fans, Luke. And I did something at halftime of this game that I never in a million years thought I would have the audacity to do. The Magic are up 67-32 only because Micić hits a three as the clock expires at the first half, or the Hornets wouldn't have even scored 30 points in the first half at all. But at that time, I said, I'm going to go ahead and record the post-game video. I came in here to my office, and I said, I don't know the particulars the rest of the way here, but I know the Magic went a lot to a little. This game is completely over. The Magic are on fire, and the Magic were on fire. They end up winning this game 112-92. Second half, the Magic just really couldn't care less. They knew the game was over. Credit to Charlotte. They fought back a little bit, you know, got it to 20. But this was just like complete and utter domination from the Magic, and not even really by Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. Those guys were great, but Jalen Suggs with 16 points, four rebounds, six assists, three steals, two blocks. Cole Anthony in 21 minutes has 21 points, 9 of 12 from the floor, added six rebounds, three assists, a steal, a block. This was the Cole Anthony game for me. This is the best Cole Anthony that we have seen in months. Like probably since November when he was doing it pretty consistently. He might have had like one or two games statistically better than this since that point. But for me, this is like, if we get this Cole Anthony, he's not going to shoot 75% from the floor every game. But if we're getting the Cole Anthony who is capable of knocking down the shots that he was Tuesday night, that is what could flip a series for the Magic against almost anybody. So this was just such a fun game. Crazy, crazy butt kicking. No other way to put it. One of the most fun games of the year. Like, Jalen hits that three, and usually I'm pretty good about trying to be quiet because the kids are sleeping. I'm jumping up around my living room screaming, "It's over! It's over!" Just like, yeah, this game was awesome. The Magic just dominated the Hornets. And yeah, you feel good coming off of this one, but now the schedule gets tough again.
If you told us before the game, there's a half where the Magic get outscored 60-45, I'd say, wow, either that game was really close or we lost. But it didn't matter because the Magic were just putting the shellacking on them in the first half. And as you said, that second half, they could not care less, which, selfishly, I was hoping that they would just keep the defense on them the entire second half. The Hornets couldn't get anything to fall, just so the Magic could hold them to the lowest total that anyone's been held to this season, which at this point would be 73, I believe, which was the Knicks. Shout out to the Knicks. And that's what I was hoping for. So unfortunate that they scored 92 even, but you hold them under 100. Don't really do much in the second half. Guys like Paolo and Franz play basically 25 minutes. That starting group all plays roughly that amount. Gary Harris gets 17 minutes, and everybody else gets some run. Right? You even got some Caleb Houston run, some Chuma run. Admiral Schofield hits a corner three in this one. So you got a little bit of everything in this game. And Cole Anthony needs these games like a fish needs water. Like, he just needs to see the three ball go in. I think it was post shoot around, maybe it was yesterday morning before the game or the day before that, where Cole Anthony was like, I just need my shot to, once my three ball's going in, then we're back. He was like, but right now it's not, and they feel good. It's just a matter of time. Cole, over the last few games, this game and then the first game against Toronto, did pretty well as far as shooting the basketball from beyond the arc. So I'm hoping that this is him just getting back into rhythm. And you put this out there on Twitter, but you said, if we get this Cole Anthony, we can advance past the first round. And it's, I mean, it's true. It's, if you can get him to just hold his own defensively, which he has been doing for the most part this year, just putting pure effort and hustle into that side of the ball, despite being the smaller defender and teams hunting for the switch against him. If he can give you that production offensively, unfortunately, you're not playing Charlotte every night, but if your three ball can just be on and you can give us games, if it's even a possibility for you, you to give us a 4-for-6 from three game in a pivotal game, whether that's the playoffs or coming down the stretch here for seeding, that's huge. That's one of the X factors and one of the determining factors for this team going to the postseason, and perhaps the biggest question mark.
Yeah, like basically anybody but Boston. I think like if Cole Anthony is going to give you, you know, 46-47% from the field and 37-38% from the 3-point line, like I would bet that to flip a series against pretty much anybody, like Milwaukee, Cleveland.
Conversely, because, to what he was shooting,
right? Specifically, exactly.
Yeah,
and him in that type of role, drawing the amount of attention that he would with those type of splits, would open up everything else for that bench lineup. Like it would take a lot of, like right now, Joe Ingles is having to do everything. Like in terms of like creating offense for that second unit, whether it's, you know, knocking down threes or running like the pick and roll with Mo Wagner and Cole Anthony, like hurting teams that way and them just shading a little bit more in his direction, I think would just open up everything again for that second unit. And as great as they've been playing all year long, like it would be that like much better with Cole, like really cooking, because he's like a microwave guy. He knocks down a couple of shots, and now you know when he's touching the ball that he's either pulling up or trying to get to the rim. So yeah, Cole Anthony needs these games badly. The Magic need Cole Anthony to have these games badly.
And you know what else is lethal is when, if we know that we can trust Jonathan Isaac to hit those. You talk about Joe Ingles and Mo Wagner on the court together, running the pick and roll, and then Cole Anthony basically just waiting for the defense to collapse, make the wrong, you know, rotation, and him to be open for a three. Then, but then let's say you've got Jonathan Isaac on the court as well. That's something I do want to look at too, is like how many possessions those guys have played together between Cole, J.I. and then Joe Ingles and Mo Wagner, which I'm almost there, but
I'm guessing that four man. I know that the Magic's best two man lineup, which shout out to the Athletic NBA show, which I was on last week. Those guys, there was a trivia question of what is the Magic's best two man lineup this year, and it's Cole Anthony and Jonathan Isaac. So that four man lineup's got to be pretty good. I would assume. Yeah.
So this year, those four on together have played 550 possessions. They are a plus 13.4
net rating.
Yeah. So that is, at that point, you think about it. If Cole's got it going consistently, J.I. now, legitimately out of nowhere, is reliable from that corner three spot, which it's hilarious. A lot of his. What are you gonna
is
say?
It out of nowhere? Because he's been doing it like for the majority of the season now.
Well, I feel like we've maybe not out of nowhere, but now we're finally saying, okay, we can buy it. Because listen, I've seen that man airball like and clank it.
Since December 1st, 33 games, 46% from behind the arc.
That's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy, actually.
He's just so, the only Magic player shooting better in that time, Chet Howard.
Right.
Small sample size, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, and that's what it comes down to, is volume too. Like if J.I. is giving you close to two and a half attempts a game, that four man lineup is legitimately deadly.
Listen to some of these guys since December 1st. J.I. 46%. Joe Ingles 45%, Anthony Black 43%, Jalen Suggs 41%, Wendell 40.9%.
Wendell's
dude, they're shooting the lights out. Yeah,
and it needs to happen. And at some point, whether that's next season or whatever, they have got to just increase volume and say, okay, we are finally in a groove shooting the three ball. Let's trust it and increase volume. continue to create opportunities. Now that you are shooting respectable amounts, volume should naturally go up because there are defenders that are, you know, respecting you. But also, like, you have the confidence to take those shots. So if that four-man lineup can just continue to get run and these guys are just knocking down shots, that's a problem. And that's the reason this bench unit was got the reputation they got so early on, which was like, you know, that Magic bench, they kill dudes. Like, they are just Knicks film school. Andrew Claudio always brings it up. Like, your bench just blitzes other people, other teams' benches. So, and that's the reputation this team got. So if you can just continue to knock down shots, if you're Cole Anthony, hit the open one if you're open, Jonathan Isaac, or if you're feeling crazy, those contested ones we saw. I mean, that bench unit is going to be uber important come postseason.
Okay, Luke, last thing that I want to say again is, like, just Thursday night is super important for the Magic. I know it's just one game, but for me, who I admittedly have a little bit of a tendency to overreact from time to time off of one game, I usually am pretty good about reining it back in and taking a look at the big picture. But in the moment, if the Magic come out and they don't play well and they're not competitive in this game, in the moment, to me, it's going to feel like the sky is falling. And then I'll quickly be like, okay, it's just one game. It's not that bad. But when you look at the schedule and the last three teams that you've played that are above 500, if you just get waxed by all three of those teams, it's not a good sign. You know, we've talked about how this season is about, you know, learning and how, you know, valuable all of this experience is, and that's great. But I still want them to play well. You know, like, yeah, losing four in the playoffs, fine, as long as you're not getting blown out in, you know, at least two or three of those games. Like, you have one blowout and you get swept, fine. The other three are competitive, I guess that's okay. Would hate to see them get blown out in four consecutive games. That would really suck. But Thursday is just really, really important. I know these guys, time and time again, before big games this year, they have acknowledged, hey, this is a big game. This means a lot to us. And in quite a few of those, they have not delivered. I know they understand the stakes going into this game and what it means. And yeah, if I'm not mistaken, this game's on NBA TV. So it's a, air quotes, national televised game. But you're going to have a few more eyes on you than you normally would. So it's important to come out and get a W. And that's really all that I have to say. It's crazy that we're already heading into the last, you know, week and a half here in March, and 13 games to go until the postseason. I really, really cannot wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get string together some more wins here. We'll see.
And hey, if the Magic pick up their next two wins, you know, at home versus New Orleans and Sacramento, you all are going to, you know, see what you want to see. Tarps off on the next episode. So we'll see what happens with that. But that is going to do it for this episode. For Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You all have been listening to the Six Man Show. And we will catch you guys next time. See you.
Thanks for listening to The Sixth Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Spotify to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It helps out the show a lot. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Sixth Man Show. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic. Right.